In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So a priest friend of mine from seminary tells this story. It comes from the last election cycle 4 years ago, but it fits today's lesson and also fits our current season. This priest friend of mine had a parishioner who was quite involved in politics, read everything they could, held a minor office once or twice, listened to pundits, speakers, commentary with ever-increasing zeal. What began at first as civic involvement, over time, over the years, became more and more of an obsession. Political opponents became them, the enemy. If you supported the opposing party, there was clearly something wrong with you. A real Orthodox Christian wouldn't support such and such party. Perhaps worse, every conversation, it seemed, had to be steered to politics. You encounter heavy traffic on the Tappan Zee Bridge. It's a political plot. You have a rough day at work or at school. It's a political plot. Your pasta is not served al dente. It's a political plot. Okay, that last one was fake, but you get the idea. Politics, which had started as a civic interest, became an obsession that the person couldn't even recognize in themselves. Over time, this person had lost the ability to see the most ordinary events as anything but politics, or as an excuse to discuss politics. More concerning to my priest friend is that this person was losing the ability to see the image of God in anyone on the other side. Now, they would never say that, but the effect was obvious in how they spoke. Stress, cynicism, these things crept in. Friends that didn't seem to want to come around anymore. Social media getting a smaller and smaller circle of like-minded people affirming this spiritual disease. So, and this was back in 2016. So the person came to the priest friend for advice, which is actually a very good step in itself to recognize that something was wrong. And after listening to this person's story, the priest gave them this advice. He said, the election is about 40 days away, which is a good and holy number. You already know who you're going to vote for. So my instructions to you are this. For the next 40 days, fast from politics. No discussions, no TV or radio programs on politics. When you have political thoughts, push them out of your head and replace them with a Jesus prayer and think about something else. Learn to have conversations on the billions of other subjects that God has provided in this beautiful world. And in 40 days, come back and see me, and we'll reevaluate. According to my priest friend, the person argued with them a little while and then finally left in a huff. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't even try, especially not during an election season, because that's what they lived for. The obsession had become bigger than they were, and when they heard their priest's directive, they went away sad. They went away perturbed. They went away a little bit angry. They were unwilling to let go of this burden in order to lead a more peaceful and blessed life. Now, today in our gospel reading, Jesus encounters a wealthy man with a good question, very good question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a great question. It's the question. It's the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus first gives him the general answers. Obey the commandments. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, these are the things everyone needs to find life. But then the man presses Jesus if there's anything more, because obviously he felt like that wasn't enough. There's got to be something gnawing at him. And this is where things get both interesting and personal. Jesus looks at him with love, searches the man's heart, and in his love, Jesus sees the very burden weighing this man down. In his case, it was his wealth. So the Savior gives the man a prescription to his own freedom, a prescription to his salvation. Sell all you have, he says. Distribute to the poor and follow me, and then you'll find life. You'll find life. And just like what happened to my priest friend, the man went away sad. He was unwilling to lay that burden down, for his wealth was indeed a burden. He was unwilling to lay the burden down to find life. And then Jesus gives that very famous image. He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, it's got a literal meaning. I mean, it's almost ridiculous to think of a camel trying to squeeze through the eye of a needle. But besides its literal meaning, there is a second meaning to this bizarre image of a camel going through the needle. Remember, Jerusalem was a walled city. And a walled city has gates in the walls through which people can enter and exit. And then you can close the gates if you're a risk. There's a risk of invasion in your city. That's why you put the wall up in the first place. And it's said that there was one particular gate in the wall of Jerusalem so small that a person could barely fit. And a camel loaded with supplies and wealth, forget it. Not going to happen. And that gate had a nickname. The eye of the needle. That was the little gate. Everyone knew which one you were talking about. A gate so small that it got the nickname the eye of the needle. And a camel could only have a chance to get through it if you first took off the baggage. If you first took off its burden. It really is an image of the kingdom of heaven. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven burdened with baggage. It's not that God doesn't want us. It's that we don't fit through the gates of paradise burdened with the personal baggage of this world. For the man Jesus encounters, his personal baggage was wealth. For the person my priest friend encountered, it was an obsession with politics. We cannot find paradise clinging to the burdens that really have no part in the kingdom of heaven. They'll never fit. They just don't fit through the gate. They don't fit through the eye of the needle. And that burden can be anything. Anything that you have difficulty letting go of it. You know, for the one person, it might be wealth or politics. But for the next person, it could be something entirely different. It could be a grudge. It could be a resentment. It could be a pain that I can't or won't let go of and forgive. Because a grudge and a resentment will not fit through that gate. I guarantee a grudge and resentment will not fit through the eye of a needle. For another person, it could be the need to be admired, whether physically or for accomplishments, the need for credit. You know, that's not going to fit through that gate either. For another person, it might be the need to control, to manipulate situations. It's not going to fit. Not going to fit. For another, it could be their job. It could be a hobby. It could be anything can become a burden that's going to get to be too big to fit through that gate. And often these are things that might be good in themselves, but they become distorted. They become oversized. Even religion can be a burden. And that sometimes can be the hardest, hard to recognize as a burden because it can be disguised like God. Not very well, of course, but the obsession with religion can be quite dangerous. The need to be correct, the need to be superior, the need to be we're better than they are. That the religious minutiae is more important than the fruits of the Spirit. Everyone has burdens. Everyone has burdens that are not going to fit through the gates to paradise. That's the bad news. But the good news is all you have to do, let go. Lay them down at the gate. All you have to do is drop your obsession, drop your grudge, drop your resentment, drop your agenda, drop your feelings of superior, whatever it is that is burdening you down, that is too big to fit through that gate, drop it outside the gate and begin the new life. And yes, there are some who prefer to walk away sad or angry when they're told that that's the choice. But brothers and sisters, that is the choice. That is the choice. For those willing to drop that burden at the gate, it's the best, most wonderful feeling you will ever have in your entire life. Because dropping the burden at the feet of Jesus Christ is entrance into paradise. It's entrance to peace. It's entrance to love and joy. And the really, really good news is that this experience of the kingdom of heaven doesn't have to wait until you die. You can start experiencing the kingdom of heaven as soon as you're willing to let go of the things you cling to in this world. A loaded camel can't fit through the gate nicknamed Eye of the Needle. And a person can't find paradise loaded with a burden incompatible with the person of Jesus Christ. But the good news is, if you recognize your burden, you can lay it down today, and today begin to experience that new life. Amen.